After a little intermission. Pastor Danny likes to have an intermission between the between the segments. So great pleasure to have Trevor Smith speaking with us today. Trevor is just recently rejoined our church as a member and works as an executive coach. He's not a pastor, but he's part of our congregation and works not only with executives, CEOs and CFOs, COOs, but also with a lot of pastors. And does a lot of work with them. So, Trevor and Liz, and Trevor, very happy to have you, and please come up. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Martin. Thanks. Well, look, good morning, everyone, and Josan. Okay, great. So you are here. So I just want to say it's a real amazing privilege to be with you here this morning. And, you know, for me to be here and share God's word is fantastic. It's nice to see a few familiar faces, some former work colleagues. And, you know, we've been in Discovery Bay for 18 years. So it's great to be here. And thank you. I just want to say as well, it's let's just be in the moment. Let's be here, right now. You know, God's brought us here. Doesn't matter whether you're in this side or in the expensive seats over on the side there. But just want to say, look, let's just use this time to say, you know, how's God really going to speak to us? And the message I felt was on my heart to share with you today is this. Be bold. We're going to focus on Matthew 28. We're going to unpack that as we go through. But it really lines up with the church vision. So the church vision is manifold, but one of those is for 20 people to come to know Christ by the AGM. Okay, quite a bold vision. But let's see what we can do to help that to come about. So, okay, before we go any further, let's just pray. Lord, I just pray that these are your words, not mine. I pray, Lord, that we will have open hearts and minds so that we all leave here with a spring in our step and come to know more about what you want for us. Speak to us now, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. So today's a message of encouragement. And as I said, I want you to really help to leave here with a spring in your step. And you'll notice, those of you that picked up the service bulletin today, that inside is a pink piece of paper. If I could just ask you to pull that out. And if you haven't got one, then maybe the person next to you can tear one in half and give you their piece. But you should also have a pen. So if you don't have a pen, we've got pencils here. If you haven't got one, just put your hand up and we can get one to you. Okay, gentlemen there, thank you. So what I'd like you to do is just to stop for a moment and think of someone that comes to your mind, someone that you really want to reach out to, someone that you want to share with. Maybe it's someone in your family. Maybe it's someone, a work colleague or a friend. Maybe you work in someone's household and it's someone in that household. Maybe it's someone you bump into as a neighbor, someone on the bus. But I just want you to think of that person and write down their name. Now, you may not want to mention their name. You might want to put their initials if you want to keep it more private. But I'd just like you just to record that now. And think of maybe someone that you would like to spend eternity with. Someone that you'd like to be there with you. Because at the end of the day, we're not here for very long. So who is this person that you want to reach out to? And just keep that person front of mind as we go along. And if there's anything else that stands out, just write it on this piece of paper. Because, you know, there's been research that shows that after 20 minutes, you forget over half of what's been said. Okay, so just make a note. If something stands out to you, put it there today. Okay, let's go on. Before we go any further, I'm going to tell you a little story about Mrs. Wilson's parrot. Now, how many of you, like when you were growing up, when you were like 10 or 11 or so, how many of you had like your gang in your neighborhood that you were like friends? Okay, many of you, yeah. People like friends that you were, like your group of friends, maybe they lived near you. Maybe they were kind of school friends that lived around the corner or something. But we all used to have like our little gang of friends, you know, our pals. And I was brought up in the UK. And I was just below London in a county called Surrey. And in our road, we had this kind of, it was quite a long road. It was like in a dog's leg. And there was, we used to live at number 25. And my parents, you know, lived there all their life. In fact, when I was born, they lived in that home. And when they passed away, that was where we lived. So it's like our family home. But down the road, we had Ken and his sister Rosie. They lived at number 72. We had Andrew, lived at number 99. And we had Stephen and David. They lived further down the road. And we were like a little bit of a gang, right? Yeah, we used to go around our bikes, and we just used to, like, you know, hang out together. But number 101, there was like a family friend, this lady, Mrs. Wilson. And Mrs. Wilson, she was one of those kind of people that were very nurturing, very friendly, and we kind of all used to go around and hang out. And her house was like on the corner of this, like an alleyway, which led to the football field, otherwise known as soccer in other countries. Right? And this was the corner there. And so we used to pass her home quite frequently. And in like the window, she had this, what was called a bay window. In the UK, it's quite common to have like the front of your house kind of comes out slightly, and so the window is in a curve. And in this window, Mrs. Wilson had Joey the parrot. Now, Joey was kind of, you know, he was this thing that used to sit there. And as kids, we used to always go past this corner. We used to see Joey. And, you know, we kind of really loved Joey. We used to knock on the window, and he used to flap his wings, you know. And we used to go up carefully. And sometimes Mrs. Wilson, being the kind of quite generous person she was, she'd let us come in, and we'd feed the parrot and so on. And she used to let it out of its cage. And this was kind of like a bit of a special treat for us. So we all secretly wanted to have Joey. And Joey was part of our lives. Now, you're probably wondering why I'm telling you this, right? Mrs. Wilson, sadly, she passed away. And Mrs. Wilson, in her will, she left Joey the parrot to my friend Ken and his sister Rosemary, who lived about 8 doors down. So suddenly, the thing that we'd always wanted, we suddenly got it. And so we suddenly had Joey the parrot was in Ken and Rosemary's house. Now, so we went from what you might call renting something to owning something, which is a huge difference, right? You know, when you have a car and you own a car, you treat it very differently than when you rent it, okay? So suddenly we found that Joey the parrot was ours. So what do you think we suddenly realized? And what do we have to do now that we owned Joey? Feed it, yeah. What else?
Clean the cage.
Wash him. Yeah, we suddenly had these new responsibilities, and we used to kind of flap, you know, used to let him out of his cage, flap his wings, and we had to sort of clean him out. And this was like a big responsibility. So suddenly we realized that the thing that we always really wanted, suddenly we had these new responsibilities that fell on us. And in the same way, when we choose to be Christian and we love God, this is the first and central thing, you know, something we need. It's the core of our faith, is that we love God. But the second things we suddenly realize, there are other things that come about by being a Christian. So I'm going to embarrass Liz now. We've been married for 29 years, okay? And if you said to me back at the beginning, you know, when I met Liz, that I would be making her a cup of tea in bed every morning, that's a kind of a little bit overwhelming to say, you know, you've got to make 29 years worth of cups of tea, right?
Go Liz.
Go Liz, yeah. And I'm hoping that, you know, I still maybe haven't got it right. But the thing is, that on the outside, someone that maybe looks at that might go, hey, that's a real bind, that's a real chore. But because I love Liz, it's effortless for me, and I just do it. And in the same way, I think many people look at what we believe and they say, oh, there's too many rules and regulations, you know, and there's lots of things. But if you come from a position of love, then those things become naturally. And some of the things that we do naturally because we love God are, obviously, we pray, going clockwise. We want to give on our heart, fellowship, some of the things that Martin mentioned, fasting is another one, loving your neighbor, forgiving, and so on, and worshiping. These are all things that we do because we feel we should. But there's one thing which is kind of a little bit out there, and it's a little bit dangerous sometimes because we feel uncomfortable, and it's sharing our faith, and that's where we're going to go now. So how do we share? So I'm going to talk about not just why should we share, how do we do it, and what could be some of the things that hold us back? Maybe there's things that might not make us want to share our faith. So let's go there now. Here's the Great Commission. This, just to give you the setting, was what happened after Jesus was crucified, he was resurrected, and he'd appeared to the disciples. And here he's sitting down addressing them, and he said this: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." So he's given that authority to us. And this is where we're going to start here with the Great Commission. Now, here's a little bit of a left field question. You might not think it's connected, but let me throw it out there. What's your favorite movie? Sorry? Has anyone got a favorite movie? Who's been to the movies recently?
Toy Story.
Toy Story. Okay, thank you. One, two, or three? Okay. I can tell you've got children. Okay. What? Spider-Man. Okay, we've got another favorite there. Maybe it's a theater show, like Les Miserables, something like that, you know? Someone down the front, I heard some mutterings. Star Wars Episode 5, okay. Well, today we're going to boldly go where no one has gone before. Okay, so, yeah, we all have a favourite movie. And, you know, it's a bit like when we go to, you know, the cinema, we go to, maybe we find a good plumber, you know, a good contractor. They're quite hard to find, right? Or maybe we find a really good restaurant. Well, one of my favorite things to watch is The Matrix. Who's seen The Matrix? Most of you. Okay. There's this moment in The Matrix, which, by the way, The Matrix, if you watch it again, it's really a Christian parallel. It's amazing how many Christian references are in there. Trinity, and so on. If you follow the film, you'll notice that Morpheus in the film is a bit of a John the Baptist type figure. You've got Neo, who, of course, you know, he becomes the One. So it's a fascinating film. Go back and watch it again. But there's a point in the film where Morpheus approaches this guy called Neo, and he confronts him with a choice. And this is what he says: "If you take the blue pill, the story ends. And you wake up in your bed and you believe whatever you want to believe. But you take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I'll show you how deep the rabbit hole goes." And so what he's confronting him with is a choice. And we as Christians have made that choice. It's either, do we believe that Jesus is the Son of God or not? It pretty much comes down to that, okay? And I often feel that when we're sharing faith, one of the things is that, you know, people get a little bit hung up on, you know, I was the one that brought someone to know Christ. And that's wonderful. But I kind of like to think of it in a different way. And I think of it like this. If you put it on a scale of 1 to 10, then as Christians, actually our role is only really to move someone from maybe 1.5, 2.5 to 4 perhaps. Okay. There's been some research done by YWAM that shows that 7 points of contact for someone to make a commitment. They have had 7 people in their lives have maybe stepped in. So all I'm saying today is that if you somehow have a role to play in someone's life from moving them from one step to another, that's all we're talking about. Okay, so it's quite subtle, it's quite small. We're not talking necessarily about an earth-shattering evangelistic experience. We're talking about just sharing with your neighbor someone like that. This is one of my favorite quotes, right? We were built to go out and do this. We were built to go out there. So it feels safe and secure not to have to do things like sharing our faith. But actually, that's what we're there. Get out of that comfort zone and get into the growth zone, hopefully not the panic zone. But let's get out there and share. Now, there are probably people in your lives who have reached out to you on your Christian journey who feels that they've had people, maybe multiple people, actually reaching out to them as they've gone through their Christian journey, right? Most of you. Now, what if those people hadn't actually done that? Now, I often think to myself, what would my life have been like if I'd actually been born into the house next door, right? What if? So these people actually went out and they shared and they felt that discomfort. So again, I just encourage you to feel the same. Now, I work a lot in the workplace. So as Martin said, I'm an executive coach and I'm privileged to work with a large number of people in all walks of life at all different levels within organizations. And before becoming a coach, I spent 30 years in the financial services industry. And what I found over my career working in different countries and so on is that there are various different levels of operating in life as a Christian. Now, it could be the workplace, it could be that you're a non-working mother, a homemaker, it could be you're maybe off work, you could be retired, you might be someone who's, in a career sabbatical, whatever it may be. But there's various different levels of operating. I'm going to put this out there, and as I go through this, I'd like to ask yourself, in your heart, where do you sit? Now, the first level of operating is the person who is like off the radar. They really don't want to share their faith. They stay off the radar, and they feel that maybe, for some reason, whatever, they feel really uncomfortable at sharing. Let me come over here so you can see me as well. Some people feel uncomfortable, and there could be circumstances behind that, fair enough, and there are people who don't want to share. There are those who are maybe slightly quietly Christian that might raise that when it crops up. So sometimes something happens at work and maybe you feel uncomfortable, you put your hand up and say something. There are those who put the flag up early. The people that, and this is what I'd recommend, if you've got a new job or you're going into a new social situation, it's far easier if you simply say, make it known that you're a Christian at the beginning, right? It's far more difficult to then backtrack, right? So put the flag up early is one of the things I'd suggest, but this is another level of operating. The minister's mindset is as the person who actually goes into their circumstances and says, I'm going to be looking for opportunities to share wherever they are. Now, Sandy, you've got, don't have to hold it up, but you see you've got this handbag there, and lovely handbag it is too. When you bought that handbag, I'm guessing you probably notice everyone else that's got the same handbag. Or if it's a tie, if you guys are buying, no one wears ties anymore, but let's say it's a Tumi bag or something like that. You probably, once you've bought that, you notice everywhere you see that, right? And it's the same thing with opportunities to share. If you keep your mind out for it, you actually spot the opportunities. So the minister's mindset is the person who sort of operates in the Holy Spirit in the workplace, in the home, wherever they may be, and looks for opportunities to share. And then, of course, we have our full-time ministers, Danny and others that you know. But here's the thing. In the Bible, there is no such thing as a part-time anointing. Danny has the same anointing as you do, as I do. There's no difference. We're all ministers. It just so happens that Danny has had the call to be a full-time minister. We are also full-time ministers. Now, as Martin mentioned, I have the privilege of working with lots of pastors and so on, and ministry leaders in different Christian charities and so on. Who do you think has the opportunities to evangelize the most? Danny and the pastors, or people who are out there in the community? Right, it's us, right? You talk to any pastor, and I know people who weren't pastors who've gone into a pastoral role, and they all say the same thing. We don't have the opportunity to pastor because, you know what? We spend most of our life with other Christians, which is their calling, and that's fine. But they're the ones that don't have so many opportunities. We're the ones who have the opportunities to share. And therefore, I want to encourage you to think about how can you. So we're all parts of the body of Christ, and we all have a different role to play. Quick pause. Some of you will have been in the church when we had the invitation to do what was called the shape test. Has anyone done the shape test? Okay, a few of you have. Fantastic. Okay. The shape test, as an executive coach, we often use personality profilers to help people to be more self-aware. And I just want to put a quick plug in for the shape test. So some of you may have recognized this particular slide that's been used a few times. The shape test is a free resource to enable you to help discover your calling. So I've done mine, and I'm going to share it with you now, not in detail because it's, you know, it's not all good. Okay. But the shape test is an online questionnaire, and you fill in a few answers, and you get a free report. And it says what they feel, based on these questions, are your Christian strengths, your gifts. Now, I'm not going to say this is 100% the one thing you hang your hat on, because you know yourself, other people will know you too. But it's part of a bigger picture, and it's a great way of exploring and knowing more about yourself. So I did the shape test, and it sends you back a printout or an email which I've printed. Now, you may choose to share or not to share, but we would encourage you to share so we can help identify the giftings in the church. So for me, it's come out with a couple of strengths, but they then categorize them as an animal. So the animal I came out at, and you can discover what animal you come out at in a Christian sense, I came out as the otter. Okay, now the otter, you came out as the otter as well. Fantastic. And the lion. Okay. Well, I came out as an otter. An otter is a social creature and likes to connect with other people. So that's me. I see Yuko smiling because she used to work with me. So she knows this. So the otter. I also came out as the golden retriever. Okay. I know. Okay. The golden retriever is good at making friends and very loyal. Okay, so I'm a golden retriever and I'm an otter. So now I hope I've captured your imagination. Go out there and do the free shape test. It's superb. And you, frankly speaking, when I do this as an executive coach, we charge a fortune. So I would do it. It's free. Okay. Now, a couple of tips for you. It's all about partnering with God. You're not on your own out there when you share your faith. The Holy Spirit is our unfair advantage, and there's a fantastic book called Our Unfair Advantage for anybody of you working in business ministry or seeing yourself as a business minister. So if you think of it a bit like this, when the Israelites were out in the desert, they had the Ark of the Covenant. And in the Ark of the Covenant, this is in Exodus, they were out walking around, wandering around the desert. And in the Ark of the Covenant was the presence of God. So they were carrying the presence of God with them out there in the wilderness. Wherever we go as Christians, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We take the Holy Spirit with us into the workplace, into the home, onto the ferry, onto the bus. We're not on our own, like the Ark of the Covenant. It was a bit like, you know, in Greek mythology, they had the Trojan horse. Remember that? You take the Trojan horse with you. You're taking the Holy Spirit with you, and that's our unfair advantage. So what we're really doing is we're just planting the occasional seed here and there. Okay? We're not actually necessarily having to water them. It's God that waters them. We're just sowing. So to some extent, our sharing is required. We're required not to be passive. We're required to be active. Now, we all know that our faith isn't all about being saved by works, by what we do. It's not clocking up points. What I'm saying here is that to some extent, there is an expectation on us to share at some point when the time is right. And this is really borne out in this verse where Jesus healed a sick woman. What happened here is Jesus and his disciples had gone over the Sea of Galilee in a boat, and they were coming back to where they started, and there was a great anticipation of him coming back to the point where he started. And here we have a huge crowd has gathered. And this lady, what she did, you may be familiar with this verse, she came up behind Jesus and she actually touched the edge of his cloak. Right. So there was an element on her side of the deal was that she had to actually do something to reach out. It wasn't passive, but of course things do occur in our lives that are God-driven. But to some extent, and there are times where we have to actually do something and reach out. And so I'm suggesting that maybe there's a part that we have to play when we are in a partnership with God. And it's a little bit like this. Maybe I'd like to invite someone to come up to the front and share with, this is where everybody tries to hide. Can I have someone who has a mobile phone to just come up to the front, please? Okay, Jonathan, hey, thank you. I think Jonathan deserves a bit of a round of applause. Okay, so they're coming up. Thank you. Now, when we're sharing our faith, okay, I'm just going to, it's a bit like this. I'm going to give three situations. The first situation is that, can I buy your phone for $100?
No.
No, okay. Why not? Because it's worth more, right? Okay, so he feels that he's losing, so that's not a fair deal.
$150.
Okay. US or?
LG.
Okay. 200.
Yeah. 200, no.
Still not. Okay. So in this situation, it's like he feels there's a loss, so he's not going to do that, right? Let's put it another way. If you just put your phone away, and I'm going to give you $100, okay? So now we're in business together, okay? And I say, hey, look, would you swap your $100 for my $100?
Sure.
Right, okay. Great, thank you. We have a deal. Okay, fantastic. Okay, so one of us has got Standard Chartered and one of us has got Bank of China. Okay, so that feels like it's a bit better, right? We're exchanging what I would think of as an exchange of values. What we're exchanging is fair enough, okay? But let me just take that back a minute. Now, when I share my faith, he feels hard done by now. When we share our faith, there's no cost to us. Okay? It's a bit like this. Just stay there a second, Jonathan. It's a bit like this. It's like lighting a candle. There's no loss to me, and there's a gain for you. So I have something. Why would I not share it? There's no loss to me. So that's my point around why would you not? Okay, there are reasons why not, and there's five reasons which I'm going to come on to now, but I just want to say thank you, Jonathan.
I thought I was going to get $200. No, I'm just
mate, we'll give it to you to put into Paul's money box at the end when I can find it. Okay. So it's like sharing a candle. So what could be holding us back from sharing our faith? So you're probably sitting there thinking, wow, you know, there's... there we go, stick that in his money box.
No, I'm kidding.
I'm not. You could. Okay. So, okay. Or you can frame it to remember that example. So what's actually holding us back? You might be sitting there thinking, well, you know, I kind of get the idea. In my heart, I probably would like to share more, but for some reason, I'm not. Well, there's five main reasons why we tend not to want to share, and I'm going to go through them now. And if we've got time, I'm going to give you a few stories as well about where I've been and sometimes I've shared my faith. So let's rattle through this. This is courtesy of the Jesus film, which some of you may have seen, a fantastic film. And they found there's a number of reasons. Number one, I'm afraid that other people will ask questions that I can't answer. Fair enough? Yeah, that's one of the... I too have that same feeling, right? Well, one thing I did was embark upon some reading. So here I would suggest, you know, if you go into the arena, you really should be upskilled. And there's some great books I'd recommend. Questions of Life by Nikki Gumbel, which is used in the Alpha course. Anyone read that? Okay, a few of you have, great. The Case for Faith, or The Case for Christ, is another one of his books by Lee Strobel. And Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. That's a great one. I often give that book out to people because it starts from a really low base. It's very compelling, and each chapter's about like four sides of A4, or four sides of the book, which this day and age, everyone's got the attention span of a mosquito. So people want short books, right? Number two, I struggle with my own faith, was one of the other big objections. Well, do you know anyone that doesn't? I feel like we're all under construction to some extent. None of us meet Christ's perfect example. So we're all in a journey. So for me, it's all about being authentic, being vulnerable, being willing to put yourself out there. And I'm just going to share with you in a moment sometimes when I've put myself out there and what's happened. And I see it as a chance to connect. In fact, one of my friends, Douglas Campbell, who Liz knows, he pulled a bit of a sneaky one on me. He said to me, I'm exploring my faith and I'm going to go to the Alpha course. Would you like to come with me? So I'm like, oh, that sounds good. So I kind of went with him. We went through the Alpha course. Turns out he was a doctor of theology. Okay. I'll never forget it. And I'm very grateful to him. Number three, I never really learned how to share about faith. So here's a couple of tips, right? The main one is just tell a story. Be real, be authentic. Let me show you a story that I often tell, and it's centered around a Bible verse, and it's this verse here. It's where Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. This is where Jesus was standing on a boat, preaching to his disciples. And it's a verse, actually, Peter mentioned it last week. It's one of my favorite verses, and it centers around the Holy Trinity. So here we go. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So here we have Jesus, if you love me. Okay, and I will ask the Father, God, and he'll send you another advocate, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So how would you unpack that? So I'll just share with you how I've explained that on times. So what I would say is something like this. Not many people don't believe there's a God. So I'd say, hey, can I just ask you, normally you'd be in a conversation or something, say, hey, just to ask you the question, starting point, do you actually believe that there is something else out there, another being, a supreme power, a higher power? Is that something you believe? And I've only ever had one person say no. So let's assume that they're going to say yes. That's yes, I believe there's something. So for the sake of argument, let's call that God. Okay. Now, you've probably heard about this guy called Jesus. Yeah. Well, he lived 2,000 years ago. And isn't it interesting how he lived 2,000 years ago and we're still talking about him today? There was no social media back then. So getting the message out was quite tough. Isn't it interesting how... Yeah, that is interesting. And so most people would not challenge that Jesus existed, because he's actually a prophet in Islam, one of the books of the Quran. He's actually mentioned in Israeli Jewish scriptures, and obviously it's the center of our faith. So I honestly believe if most people sat down and looked at the evidence, they would not really reasonably be able to deny that Jesus actually existed. But the big question is, was he the Son of God? Now, imagine, you were a disciple, you'd given up your fishing nets, you'd followed Jesus for 3 years, and you based your whole life around Jesus, and suddenly he says, you know what, I'm leaving. What do you mean you're leaving? I've given up, I've dropped my fishing nets, I've given up everything, I've sacrificed, I've followed you, I'm coming with you. What do you mean you're leaving? And so he says, but don't worry, because I'm going to leave you in 40 days the Spirit of Truth, which is the Holy Spirit. And so this is the Holy Spirit. Have you ever wondered what the Holy Spirit is, this person? Yes, this is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit kind of lives in us, guides us, and so on. But the deal is this. I'm afraid it's as simple as this. Go back. Jesus said, if you love me and keep my commands, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another. So if you don't love Jesus, he won't ask that. So it's kind of a bit of a deal breaker. And this, I think, is the pivotal moment for most people. Okay. So that's kind of how I would often explain the Trinity. And I talk through. So there we have God in one. We have God the Father that you kind of accepted was there. Jesus, well, we know who he is, but was he God's Son? Now, wouldn't it be great if you could experience the Holy Spirit? And that's the... And what do you think about that? And just throw it open for discussion. And it's amazing where it goes. That's just one of the ways I would share. Number four in this kind of afraid to share scenario is that I really don't know how to start a conversation. Okay, and this is what I call points of entry. So go back to the handbag situation. If you're seeking and looking for an opportunity to share, you often find them cropping up. So I'm just going to share with you some of the points of entry that I've had and some tips on where I think you can share. First thing is, when you're at the bus stop, don't check your smartphone. There's no opportunity to share, right? What's happened is, those of you that remember the 80s, like I do, all the best music was in the 80s, we all know that. We didn't used to have smartphones. We'd stand at the bus stop and we'd actually chat to people. But now, everybody is walking around. So number one is, you've got to make an opportunity to have a conversation. Okay. And that's what I call the bus stop or the ferry conversation. So first of all, have that. Second thing, it was here somewhere. I can't find it. Oh, maybe it's in my back pocket. Is that I spend a lot of my time in taxis, traveling around the Central and Admiralty and so on. So I got some of these. They are tracked in Chinese, and they talk about, you know, who's Jesus and what he did and so on. I'm embarrassed to say that my Cantonese is horrendous. So what I will do is, when I give the change, I'll just give them that to read. And when they've parked up and they're eating their lunch, they'll have a read of it. No loss to me, why not? Okay, another idea. One of my clients who, unfortunately, he'd had, his daughter had a loss of a child. And for me, the point of entry there was simply to say, his name was Roy in London. I said, look, Roy, I really feel for you. I don't know how to express, you know, how your loss, how I can really help you, but have a look at this. And I gave him a poem. It wasn't a Christian poem, but it was just a basic sort of uplifting kind of poem. 5 years later, when we left to Hong Kong and I went to say goodbye to those clients, he said to me, before you go, let me just say this. He pulled out his wallet and he kept that poem in his wallet for 5 years. Okay, such a simple thing, but that was the point of entry that's triggered off the conversation. I also have, on the back of my business card, I have a Bible verse. And it's not the actual full verse, it just says Matthew 12:33. And few people seldom ever see it, because it's not super small, but it's easy missed. And only last week, I was at one of my clients, I was in the reception, and I was chatting to one of the guys there, and we were talking about, this particular guy works in sales, and I said, well, of course, at the end of the day, it's all about activity. You've got to go out there and do something about it. And actually, have you noticed on the back of my verse, there's a Bible verse here, and it says, you can judge a tree by its fruit, which is that, don't tell me you're going to go and do something. I want to see you actually do it. He went, oh, that's interesting. Actually, I didn't know you were Christian. I go to a church. We end up having this huge conversation. He's telling me about other colleagues and one of the senior managers who's also a Christian. It's opened up a whole new world. Okay. I felt God saying to us as well that whenever someone asks, why did you come to Hong Kong, I should tell them the truth. And the truth is that we felt called to come. So literally on Friday, 2 days ago, I was in Seoul. I was running a training program, sat down having lunch with one of the delegates and the co-presenter, who's Korean. And this lady said to me, so why did you go to Hong Kong? So I said, well, actually, I'm a Christian. And it was a bit of a calling, really. And she went, oh, I'm a Christian as well. Interesting. So we started chatting about that. Then the guy who was the co-trainer, he said, wow, well, I'm a Christian. Not only that, my grandfather was in, is it Pyongyang, the capital of North Korea? Before the division, this is in the Second World War. My grandfather was imprisoned for his faith. And he's actually got his own Wikipedia page in Korean. Look at this. And so suddenly, just from me saying, you know what, it was a bit of a calling, it led to her coming out and just sharing her faith, and then he came out. These are all opportunities that you would never know had you not just simply been willing to share. Okay. I'm going to tell you one more, and that's before we move towards a bit of a wrap up. I had a client, her name was Sarah, and she said to me once, because in the industry I worked in before, everyone knew I was a Christian. I didn't push it down people's throat, but I just made it, I put the flag up early. And this particular Sarah, she said to me, Trevor, when I share with you my what I believe, you'll never be a Christian ever again. Well, how can you not respond to that one? So I said, sure, let's have lunch. So we went to lunch and we went to Wagyu, right? Which was in, you know, Wyndham Street, a Wagyu bar, and we were having lunch. And she starts sharing with me and she says, look, you know, well, I'm into this. And she started to all kinds of weird things. And I'm thinking, I've got no idea what to say to this. And that's, you may be feeling this when you want to share. I think I've got no idea what to say to this situation. It's just a complete load of, in my mind, you know, didn't make sense at all. So I just prayed and I said, look, Lord, just help me to know what to say at this moment. And she stopped and there's a pause in the conversation and I felt God was saying to me, just ask her, is she truly happy? So, okay, my heart was pumping. She kept talking, breaking the conversation. I said, look, Sarah, that's really interesting. But can I ask you, are you truly happy? And she stopped, burst into tears, and she said, no, I'm not. And then we had a huge conversation. She ended up that next week coming to church, and it opened up a whole new world of possibility. So you just don't know where you're going to be led. And you just have to follow what you feel the Holy Spirit's saying. I could actually spend all day telling you stories, but if you want to talk to me afterwards, I've got lots of other things I could share with you. But number five is fear of upsetting relationships. How many of you can relate to this? You know, you've got a good friend. Yeah, I thought so. You've got a good friend and you've got a relationship with them and you're really thinking, well, if I started sharing, maybe it's going to ruin what we've already got. Well, the good thing is that relationships are where God's at work. You know, this friend of mine, Douglas Campbell, he said to me, the definition of a sin is anything that ruins a relationship. And I thought that's a fantastic definition. So God starts with relationships. God loves families. God loves friendships and so on. And really, for me, I've got to ask you the question. I'm going to make you feel uncomfortable. Are you seeking to be liked or respected? Because there's a huge difference between the two. We all love to be liked. What I've found is actually if you do reach out, people see you as being authentic and they feel, hey, yeah, I respect you for what you've reached out. I may not agree, but I respect you for it. And you're not responsible for the other person's reaction. Okay? Don't prejudge their reaction. Put it out there. Let them decide. Don't decide for them. All your job is just to share the news. So I would often say something like, hey, can I add you to my prayer list? And most people will go, wow, yeah, sure. Or can I pray for you? Sometimes I might pray for them there and then. Sometimes I might pray for them, you know, on my own after. But very few people would turn that down. So I'm just going to come to a close by saying that this last verse linked to the parable of the sower. Look at the bits in yellow. Sowing seeds, this parable, I'm sure you're familiar with it. Some will just, the seeds will die, some will grow. But linked to that, the verse, for you do not know which will succeed. You don't know which of those seeds you're going to put out there will actually flourish. You don't know the ones that God's going to water. So I just encourage you to share and think of that. So what do we do next? I just ask you to commit to prayer, the people that you wrote on that piece of paper. And I'd like you to maybe, if you don't have a prayer list, maybe create one and put a list of names on there of people that you feel you should be praying for. Have a prayer buddy, someone that you can, like an accountability partner, that you can bounce off, someone that's willing to commit to you and that you're willing to commit to them. Get involved with a home group. This is where the encouragement comes. And just dive in. Get wet. So come back to that person that you wrote down on this piece of paper. Let's encourage one another. And what I'd like you to do in this week ahead, just think of a chance that you would have to pray for that person. Reach out to that person. And somehow, however that opportunity comes up, that you're going to reach out and touch their life. And we'd love to hear anonymously from you. We've created a special, Evelyn's created a special email address called sharing@dbicc.org. If you could just send us your messages, then next week we can just check in and see what's happened. It'd be great to hear. Don't have to mention names, but just say, hey, I reached out to someone in the plaza, or I was on the school playground and I shared with someone and this is what happened, or I was at work, wherever it may be. Let's just pray as we wrap up. Lord, I just pray that all those people's names have been written down, all the names that are on our minds or on our hearts, Lord, I pray for opportunities this week ahead just to share out with those people. And give us the words, Lord. Give us the actions. Maybe that action is just silence. Maybe that action is just meeting someone at that point and just being there for them. I pray, Lord, that there will be points of entry where we can reach out and just share your love with others as others have done for us. I pray, Lord, that they'll be receptive. And I pray, Lord, that we can encourage one another and be bold in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you.